Could I have your attention?
This is KPTZ 91.9 FM. I'm Jim Burke, and this is Attention, Please. And we're speaking to Kathy Ryan and Shirley Moss about the food bank here in Port Townsend. First, we'll be speaking with Kathy Ryan about food bank growers, those who provide fresh produce for the food bank. And then we'll be speaking with Shirley Moss about the food bank and how it operates here in Port Townsend. This is Jim Burke, and this is Attention, Please, and I have with me today Kathy Ryan. Hi, Kathy Ryan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Kathy, what is your title?
I wear several hats.
Yes?
So I'm president of the Food Bank Growers, who grow for the food bank in Jefferson County, of which I'm a board member, and I volunteer at the Port Townsend Food Bank in the produce section.
And,
and it all works together.
It sounds like it. So we had a little conversation yesterday on the phone. So last year, in terms of farm growers, in terms of the food bank growers, and in terms of the gleaners, brought food into the food bank for Jefferson County. How much food was that last year?
Last year, the gardens brought in 18,000 pounds. That's an all-volunteer operation with 9 gardens at that time. The gleaners brought in another 18,000 pounds, and we have merged this past year into a single organization.
Do you think you'll get 36,000 pounds this year?
No, definitely not. We're hearing from growers that crops that they have been able to work with previously very successfully, that the yields just seem slower and smaller. But that varies from farm to farm. As far as the gleaners go, what we're hearing is that the fruit set was bad this year. And so the berries are off, the stone fruit is off, the apples are off. And so we'll be expecting a much lower yield unless the number of residences that they harvest from dramatically increases. But that would be prohibitive in terms of getting volunteers. The logistics would be daunting.
How many people are actually volunteering to glean all this food?
It varies, but the gleaners have been around since 2008 as part of Local 2020 through the food initiative, and the families enjoy it. People enjoy it because they bring home a portion of what they grow, so if they can or preserve, they can. That's to their advantage in terms of keeping the cost down. But I can't give you an exact number.
No,
it depends on the number of gardens. It depends on how they recruit.
Right. Do you have any idea what happened this year? Was it too late a spring? Did we get too wet a spring and not a sunny enough spring?
Well, we work closely with both the master gardeners and with the master gardeners who teach growing groceries specifically. And that sense, in addition to what I've read generally, is that the heat dome that we had last year that boiled the onions, the Walla Walla onions in the fields, coupled with this year's long wet spring, have created the problems that we're seeing, particularly in terms of fruit.
Boiled the onions?
Yeah, that was an incredible article last year during the heat dome. Boil the onions in the field.
So the onions were useless because there was too much heat.
Wow. Right. The temperatures get up over 100. That was too much stress for many of the onions that were grown in terms of, and I believe that was a Seattle Times article.
And then they just didn't have enough onion sets for this year? Is that the idea?
Well, I worked on farms for about 15 years, small farms. And farmers have to be able to adjust to what the market is able to handle. Mm-hmm. So the ability to deliver produce, the ability to have people to plant it, to have living accommodations for them is critical. And all of those things have been much harder since COVID. So my hunch, based on experience with farmers and farmers that I've talked with, is that they are cutting back and not overproduce. You know, farmers always make an effort not to overproduce. It's just not, it doesn't make sense on a whole bunch of levels. So they're looking at all of those numbers. They're looking at the changes as well.
So what could we do this year if I'm just going to throw out a number, say there's only 10,000 pounds of produce from your end and 10,000 pounds of produce from the gleaners. like half or just above half of what was last year. How will the food bank handle that shortfall in terms of fresh food or food that can be preserved?
Well, the food banks typically handle purchasing from other sources. Mm-hmm. And so statewide, the figures, and we are in the same ballpark, I believe, about a third of what is given out is purchased, and three times as much is donated from different sources, from farmers through farm gleaning programs and other purchase programs. Food Lifeline is a tremendous resource for us at the food banks. And so then to get back to the local picture, what we have, and I'll speak to Port Townsend because that's where I work, we will get something like 4,000 pounds from the six gardens in Port Townsend, mm-hmm. which vary tremendously in size. We'll get another 1,000 pounds maybe from community gardens from Surplus after they feed their neighborhoods and their members.
Wow.
We'll get another 3,000 pounds typically from home gardens. And that was an astonishing figure when we started looking at where the donations were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in terms of high season, we are not seeing much difference in terms of donations.
Okay.
What happened last year was that in January and February, we had virtually no leafy green vegetables to give people beyond the surplus that was generously donated by local supermarkets.
You mentioned on the phone when we spoke yesterday that people could help locally by growing a little more food in the fall and winter. Now, how would they help out that way?
Well, the way that would help, the way it helped last March, was that people went into their gardens and as they were cleaning them, instead of composting kale and chard and rob that they might not have thought of using themselves or donating in the past, they brought that in. Mm-hmm. The crops were in good condition. They're good winter crops in the area. And so March, the all of a sudden we had produce to share with people again. And they were very grateful for it. Lovage was popular, which is very similar to celery.
Okay.
Herbs like lemon balm that come in early were very popular. Big surprise was that one of the gardens, a tiny little garden down by the next to the co-op, the food co-op, was harvesting, and they harvested their Austrian peas, which they had planted as a cover crop, and those were donated, and they're delicious. They're absolutely delicious.
Wow.
They normally would have been turned into compost or just turned under. So people cleaning their gardens and growing things during the winter, it's probably too late to plant now. But
okay.
If folks have things in home gardens, they can be used. They
okay.
would be brought in typically on to the Port Townsend Food Bank on a Wednesday morning between 8 and 10 mm-hmm. is optimal.
Okay.
They would need to be clean because we don't have the resources to wash soil off roots and so forth. Weighed if possible, but we do have a scale in the building. It's okay. having a volunteer who's able to shift over from something else to do the weighing. And then plastic bags are good, and it's wonderful when we have a label as to where the food has come from.
Oh, okay.
So the food bank gardens usually label them. So I can tell people this is from the Quimper Grange Food mm-hmm. Bank Garden. This is from Birchieville Garden. This is from the Bryan's Garden. And it's a tremendously nurturing piece to people who are coming through the food banks who already have enough stress in their lives. And
right.
and these are things that are being grown for them by people that they don't know, they might never meet. They may be volunteering in one of the gardens themselves. It helps them on a number of levels aside from the quality of the organically grown produce that's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do as a group for the growing is to produce more winter vegetables this year. A number of our gardens have hoop houses, and where some of them have been inactive in the past, people are making an effort to gear up during the winter. Having said that, if there are people that would be interested in volunteering to help with that, that would be important.
And how could they contact you?
I'm glad you asked. We have a website at foodbankgrowers.org that was just updated this year that has wonderful information, well-organized, easy to read, and that will get you to the volunteer page. And the address there is foodbankgrowers@gmail.com. And we have someone who will get back to you within 24 hours on requests and work with you on where you live, which garden might be closer, what day you might have available, and just sort of talk those things through so that you can hit the ground running. And in the meantime, I'd encourage people who are interested in volunteering to check through the website and get an idea of what gardens there are and what sorts of skills they might be able to use. Winter gardening is different than summer gardening.
No doubt.
Sun's not out. You're working in the rain. On the other hand, I personally find it much pleasanter to be outside on a gray day than inside. Mm-hmm. And working in the garden, whether it's putting down sheet mulch in the paths to get ready for the spring, or working in the greenhouses seeding, or working harvesting, or weeding, which I oddly find particularly relaxing. Mm-hmm. These are all things that can be done. But we also need people who know irrigation, who mm-hmm. know carpentry, who can fix raised beds, who might be on call just if there's a particular need that's their specialty.
Okay.
So there's really no limit to the skills we can use. Right. We can always use people to go to the gardens, take pictures, write copy that we can post to our Facebook, to Instagram, or to the website.
And keep it going.
And keep it going. So you don't have to be a gardener.
Okay. Thanks so much, Kathy Ryan, for being with me today. You've been most informative. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Jim. It's been a pleasure. And we hope we get lots of folks growing this winter.
It takes a village or a town or a city.
It certainly does. I'm so glad you said that, because it is absolutely all about community. And this is the greatest place I've ever lived for that.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
Thank you.
This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and you are listening to Attention Please. This week, we're talking about the food bank, the Jefferson County Food Banks. And specifically, I'm talking with Shirley Moss of the Port Townsend Food Bank. Shirley, hello.
Hello, Jim. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. Can you tell us a little bit about the food bank and about the community it serves?
Well, basically, we serve anybody who comes through the door. There's four food banks in the county: Brinon, Quillacy, and Triary, and Port Townsend. And people tend to go to the food bank that's closest to them, or the town that they are working in. Mm-hmm. And so we serve pretty much the Port Townsend community.
And the food that you give people, where are the various places that you get that food from?
That's a very big answer, because we get it in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So the volunteers, first of all, we have close to 100 volunteers. Nobody gets paid a cent. We're 100% volunteer, which I'm very proud of. Mm-hmm. We go into Safeway and QFC and the food co-op regularly, also twice a week to Pane de Mort. And we go out to Fort Worden to the restaurant out there and glean food. And then we also get food primarily from an agency called Food Lifeline. Mm-hmm. And I order every Friday from them. And we were being charged 3 cents a pound for food from Food Lifeline. But since the pandemic, they haven't even been charging us that. And they bring it over from Seattle.
Wow.
It used to be, before the supply chain got affected, that we might get 4,000 to 5,000 pounds a week from Food Lifeline. And now we're closer to 1,000 every week. It's really, really been cut back.
Okay. Even if you had more money to throw at it, you wouldn't be able to get more food from Food Lifeline.
Exactly, because they don't have it to put out.
Oh, wow. That's disturbing. And going into the fall, of course, which is I understand that's a very popular time for people to donate food, because during the holidays, people think, you know, oh, it's Thanksgiving, I want to give food to the people who need it. It's Christmas, I want everyone to have a happy Christmas, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give food to the food bank. What are the ways in which the community can support the food bank?
Well, financially is probably the best way, because with the four food banks, we share all of our funds. Mm-hmm. And the Brinon and Quillacy area, as wonderful as they are, just don't have enough donations to support them. So the donations from Tri-Area and Port Townsend really support the entire county. So money gets shared between everybody, whereas a can of tuna be used for the one
in one place
for the one food bank that you take it into.
Yeah. I find I can't open a can of tuna without wanting to eat the whole thing myself. You know? Are there any other locations that are in planning stages for the food banks?
They've just started doing a couple pop-up food banks. One on Eagle Mount. Mm-hmm. And another in Coyle.
So more accessibility for all. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned before we started talking and recording this conversation about the Wave Food Drive, which I guess is coming up in October. This is actually going to air on October 3rd. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Okay, I'm going to use a cheat sheet
That's
provided.
That's perfectly fine. I use them all the time.
Skip Ketterett, who is the preacher for the Baptist Church, is the one that spearheads this event, and he gave me a cheat sheet. So that's what I'm going to read from. So it's the 37th annual food drive of the WAVE, and the WAVE stands for What a Valuable Experience. And it initially was started through the churches, and they have continued to do it. So the churches will participate from all of October to try to bring in food. Last year, in 2021, they brought in $27,483.50 and 2,251 pounds of non-perishable food. Wow. And Calla Point has been amazing for years now. They decided that instead of just giving food, that they would try to raise money. And last year, they broke all previous records with a donation of $18,755.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just amazing people. So the actual day of the WAVE is Saturday, October 22nd.
Okay.
And what people will do is they can go into a local churches and bring financial donations or food to the churches. And if you not every single church participates. So if you go to your computer and go to wavefooddrive, all one word, .wordpress.com. So that's wavefooddrive.wordpress, wordpress.com. That will show you all of the churches that are participating. Or you can go online and donate money to the jeffersoncountyfoodbanks.org, which is the website for all of the food banks. Mm-hmm. Or you can send a check to Jefferson Food Banks at P.O. Box 124, Port Hadlock, 98339. And one of the things that makes this drive so important isn't just the collecting of food, but it's the fact that we get such a variety. Mm. When we get food from Food Lifeline, we'll get the same many, many cases of one item. Mm. Whereas Food Drive will bring in a huge variety of food. And people like variety.
Yes.
They don't like to eat the same thing over and over again.
Because we're Americans, we're used to a variety of,
yeah,
of our foods.
And right now, the things that we need the most are canned protein, like peanut butter, canned chicken, canned tuna, canned salmon. All of those are really important right now. We actually had to go to Costco and buy canned protein a couple weeks ago because we were out. We were completely out of peanut butter, mm-hmm, completely out of tuna, completely out of canned chicken. Mm-hmm. So those things right now are very important.
Wow. Did I see this right on your website? I think some of the people, some of the organizations, some of the other organizations that contribute, was it Costco also that they give food to the food bank?
Yes, and Walmart.
And Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those, and those bigger grocery stores like QFC and Safeway, as well as the food co-op. And then there's smaller entities, like I noticed the Courtyard Cafe was listed on the website, and a few other organizations and
yes,
businesses.
And Metro Bagel gives to us, of course. Pontemor is amazing.
Yeah.
We try to glean from whoever we can.
Right.
But primarily it's the grocery stores and Fort Worden's restaurant twice a week. People are constantly coming through the door with produce from their gardens, which is wonderful, because if you're using the food bank, it doesn't mean that you don't want good organic fresh food.
Yeah.
So people who grow an extra row in their gardens for us, mm-hmm. Or that just have their extra tomatoes or their extra squash at this point, mm-hmm. Will come through the door, and then we will add up those numbers along with what the actual gardens that grow for us give us. Oh, and also eggs. We get a lot of eggs from people who have chickens.
Right. Have their own flocks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's great.
And just today, Fish and Wildlife, I met up with them, and they gave me some salmon that was caught illegally. And they gutted it for me, and then I brought it in, and there's just a few of them, but those will be given out this week.
Caught illegally, so the people who caught it couldn't keep it?
Correct.
That's a good story. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the food the food bank of Jefferson County?
One of the things I'm really proud of is Senior Saturday, because we serve just people 65 and over on Saturday. We serve them from 11:30 till 2 every Saturday. And that's a very special day in my heart, because I want the seniors to be able to go through at a slow, gentle pace. And I often have people say to me, well, I don't want to use the food bank because I don't want to take food out of somebody else's mouth. And what I'd like people to know is you don't have to be in dire straits to use the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that it would take some pressure off your shoulders, I want you to use it. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are hardest to get to use the food bank are the seniors. They seem to be dealing with the most pride. So we are there for the seniors. They're on a fixed income. A lot of them are using medications that cost way too much money. And besides the fact that they are helped financially, it's also really healthy, both food-wise and emotionally, because I think most people, when they go to the grocery store, they buy the same few items over and over. They have a set amount of things that they purchase. And going through the food bank, all of a sudden you've got, oh my goodness, there's persimmons out right now, and there's pineapple this week, and not to mention the kale, and there's foods that you might not think to buy, but all of a sudden it's right in front of you, it's fresh, it's beautiful, and it adds to their diet, gives them a lot more variety, which is so, so important. But it also gets them out and moving and being around people who care about them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of seniors, they're in their apartments, and other than going to the food bank, they don't see people. They don't talk to that many people.
Right. And we know that isolation has been a huge problem the last 2 years. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And the volunteers at the food bank, they know what the individuals like. They learn their likes and dislikes. Uh-huh. They save things for them. Oh. They make them feel welcome. I have got the most amazing group of volunteers. Most of them tend to be retired from the health or the teaching occupations.
Service.
Yeah.
People who's people who have dedicated their lives to service.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they are very, very caring volunteers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, the first time they come through the door, they feel like, oh, I never thought I'd have to use a food bank, and they feel awkward or mm-hmm. somewhat embarrassed or humiliated. But once they've gone through the line and they see the value of what they're getting and the kindness that they're receiving, it's like, why haven't I been doing this before?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say to people is, if you've got a senior in your life who's just kind of having a hard time making ends meet or isn't getting out enough, have them go with a friend to the food bank and go through. We're having everybody wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, volunteer or client, can go through the food bank without a mask. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed to say we haven't had a single case of COVID passed within the food bank.
Well,
a lot of the volunteers have gotten COVID outside the food bank one way or the other, but none have been passed through the food bank. So we keep it as safe as possible, but it's a really healthy, gentle situation for the seniors to be using.
That sounds really sweet. Is it like a set amount of stuff that you give people, or do people pick and choose what they want or what they think they need?
They literally go through with a shopping cart, and we put the number of their family on the side so the volunteers can see how many, whether they're serving three or whether they're serving seven. And then the food is laid out in on long tables. And so they'll start off doing potatoes and onions and fruit, and then the produce, and then the dairy, and then yogurt and juices, mm-hmm. and then dry goods. And in our dry area, Leslie will have people choose something from a shelf. You know, do they want cookies or do they want coffee? Then they also have canned protein in that area.
Yeah.
And then they go on to their starches to get those. And then they go on to the breads. And a whole lot of wonderful organic bread from Pont de Mort. Oh, and also Crust Bakery has been donating to us also. Great. I don't want to forget them. They've been great.
Yeah. And they bake great things.
They do.
Quite a few.
Yeah, Tom is a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
And then they go on to the desserts. And I don't purchase any desserts or soda pop with our money. We get enough donated. And
really?
Between Safeway, QFC, Costco, we get so many desserts. Well, we have too many desserts.
Okay.
And then they go to the meat and fish table. We've had wild halibut and wild salmon to be giving out recently, lots of ground beef. And then we have pet food, and the pet food is vital.
Yes.
Because if you can't afford to feed yourself, you can't afford to feed your pet.
Right.
And we don't want people giving their tuna fish to their cats. We want them to give their cat food to the cats.
Yeah.
And then we have our spin to win table, which is the way that we give out non-food items in a way of playing a game. And our volunteers help people push their carts to the curb. People drive up. Our volunteers load the food in, and off they go.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, it was on the website. You were talking. It was talking about other donations. The Port Townsend Food Bank doesn't take clothing, but some of the other food banks do. Take clothing, donations of clothing?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
The new image is in the same building as the Port Townsend Food Bank.
Oh.
And they take clothing.
Oh, okay.
And they put out a rack of clothes every single week, twice a week, for the food bank. So as people are waiting to go through the line, they can be looking through free clothes also.
And people could donate to New Image when they're here at the food bank?
Sure, people can come in and donate to New Image, but New Image is smart, and they're not open when the food bank is open.
Oh, I see.
We're just too much.
No, that makes sense. It's too much input
and
output,
and we really don't want people bringing us clothes.
Right.
There's times that we have an area for the homeless,
mm-hmm.
and there's times that it's really nice to have warm jackets and warm boots and sweaters and things like that,
mm-hmm.
for the homeless.
Yeah.
But sometimes in the past, people will have a yard sale and they'll take the stuff they hadn't sold and bring it in and dump it on our hall. And that's not something that we want to have happen.
Yeah, and there can be issues with donated clothing, I know. Well, Shirley, thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate it. Shirley Moss with the Port Townsend Food Bank. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
If you'd like to volunteer or grow and donate produce, you can contact the Food Bank Growers through foodbankgrowers.org or foodbankgrowers@gmail.com. You can also volunteer, donate, give money, or utilize the Jefferson County Food Banks at jeffersoncountyfoodbanks.org, or you can go to the Jefferson County Food Bank in Port Townsend at 1925 Blaine Street, which is right next to the KPTZ radio studios, at least for now. This has been Attention Please on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm your host, Jim Burke. Thanks for listening.